This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follows. A genetic test kit for breast and ovarian cancer. The Star Trek Observatory series. Cord cutters and cord nevers are exploding. A $400 smart pillow. Is it worth it? Roku IPO and a new device coming from that team. Hey everyone, I will welcome you to episode 1227 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, September 18th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. You're checking the show out for the very first time while I am on travel. So there's only an audio portion of the show today, no video. But when I'm in my studio in Honolulu, we have live video and, of course, video delivered as a podcast. So don't worry, you can check that out later. But the most important thing is to visit geeknewscentral.com and subscribe to the show and newsletter. You can subscribe on the right-hand column of the website, whether you're on an iOS or Android device or whatever type of device you use to consume audio. We want you to visit geeknewscentral.com daily to read the great content put together by my writing team. And if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Join our Slack channel by just sending an email and saying, hey, I want to be part of the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku, on the Apple TV, on the Amazon Echo by telling that device to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch review on Blueberry.com, or tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my GNC team, The New Media Show, and of course, the ever not so often Podcast Legend Show at podcastlegends.com. Of course, this show is sponsored, of course, by our great friends at GoDaddy, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And you know, I think I said it a few shows ago, but I was digging through stuff and shredding, and I found the original contract from back in 2005, and I have been saying for years that GoDaddy started with Geek News Central in July of 2005. I was wrong. The first contract was in June of 2005, and the first multi-show buy they made was in July of 2005, so our anniversary date for GoDaddy has been wrong for a long time, so I will be revising that narrative as we move forward. But amazing what happened, and I saved all that paperwork. I didn't shred any of it. A couple of other revelations going on as well. They paid me a little more than what I thought I got paid the first month, so the story gets more interesting. Imagine, it's amazing what happens over 13 years. The brain plays tricks on you, and you have to, sometimes it's good to have some ground truth come back in the paperwork. So anyway, that's just a little an aside, but definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you're going to find there deals on 30% off on product purchases, 99cent.com, so you're going to find hosting accounts and managed WordPress accounts, $12 for a year, including a free domain. It's just an incredible good deal. And of course, our website builder or their website builder program as well. All those deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, and we want to thank you for your ongoing support of this podcast. Well, I tell you, I'm on the new gear, and sometimes gear can be too good. So I've got a Mix Pre 6 is what I'm traveling with now. And its amplifiers are so good that they, I guess for better words, they're a little more responsive than what I want. You know, I wear a headset with a microphone on it when I travel. And I've been using a condenser mic in the studio in Honolulu for a while, and I know how far away from it I have to be. It's well dialed in, but I'm getting way, way, way too much side noise and breathiness out of this particular setup. And what it is the recorder is just like way too good for as compared to the mic that I've got. So I don't have enough isolation. So today I've got it way, 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 way down, off axis a little bit to try to reduce the amount of breathiness that's coming to you folks. And I think it's going to be a work in progress here, but it's got a little bit of a muffler, and I'm scratching the microphone now for those of you that can hear that. But it's super, super sensitive. And while the sound out of it is beautiful, I think it would even annoy me if you're like hearing me go, sometimes the cheaper stuff, believe it or not, I've learned here now, works a lot better. So maybe switching back to the old rig on the next trip, because I wasn't getting the same, well, not the same sound, not the same breathiness on the mic. But anyway, just, thought I'd share that with you guys. And, it's hard to believe 13 years in that we're still, even I'm traveling on the road, trying to come up with the best solution. This MixPre 6 is really, really sexy. It's a nice, nice piece of gear. And that was what attracted me to it, because it was such high quality and getting rave reviews. But a lot of people are using it with video, with mics that are a lot further from your face and not using it in the way. And I had kind of planned on this particular box going with me to CES to be our input feed for the audio. And now I'm not so sure that's going to work because of 10 hours live. I'm going to want something that I have a little more control over, but maybe putting a compressor in front of it, it'll be fine. But it definitely is really, really, really super reactive. But anyway, that you guys didn't tune in the show to hear that, but I wanted to share a little bit. Hey, thanks for Kirk, our executive producer here at Geek News Central, for getting the show prep done tonight. Kirk really went above and beyond. I had to cut back a little bit of the content tonight, so there's going to be more stuff in the show notes than there is going to be actually in the show. I'll probably try to cull some of that out, but lots of stuff tonight to talk about during the podcast. But my trip out was great. We got lucky. There was no seats. I mean, no seats available, even though I was number one for upgrade for the first two legs. So I got settled in coach. We really just prepared to do the five-hour trip to San Francisco. And at the last second, the gate agent came in, gave me a ticket, and up to first class I went. So it was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. It was lay-down chairs. I got, I had already taken a sleeping pill. So by the time we were wheels in the well, I remember putting the seat down and rolled over onto my side. And the stewardess or the flight attendant tapped me as we were on approach to LA. And I sat back up and we landed. My seatmate said, "Man, you got some sleep." I said, "Man, it was a busy weekend." Real quick turnaround, I walked right off the airplane, two gates down, to get onto my flight to Houston, and same thing. Airplane was absolutely full. No way I was getting an upgrade, and I was actually number two on the list, and got my seat. I had an emergency roll, kind of got settled in, got things situated there, and again, right at the last minute, she came, got me and the guy sitting right next to me, because he was number one, I was number two, and we both were moved up front, and I was like, yes! And actually got a little work done on that second leg, and then the third leg into Washington, D.C., I had already been upgraded, so I got upgraded all the way through, so I was ecstatic, arrived in good shape, so. But first day here, I've been busy. Big meetings this week. 2 days here, then I move to another city, and big meetings throughout the week here. And the weekend prior was coming. I mean, you know, my son had soccer and had cross country, and we left soccer and I blasted home, jumped in the shower, got dressed, and because my wife wasn't back yet, I didn't request for a Lyft. A Lyft car came in about 20 minutes. I jumped in the Lyft. We got to the airport, basically got checked in. I went straight from check-in straight to the gate with about maybe 20 minutes to spare and boarded. So Saturday was pretty crazy. Of course, did the new media show as well. So, was really jam-packed. But, one thing about traveling now, since I've been doing this workout thing, I pack different now. I pack gym clothes. I never used to pack gym clothes. No, that was for losers. But now I have to really, I think about my supplements and, I do a special drink while I'm working out and, get all that stuff packed. It takes like 30 minutes to 45 minutes to get that around and get it ready before I leave. But yeah, my whole packing routine has changed since I started trying at least to prolong my life by losing weight and getting healthy. So anyway, just, stupid stuff that happens while you're traveling. But anyway, that's what's going on. You guys are here for the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Big thank you to all the insiders. All of you that continue to contribute month after month, please keep track. I know we've got some people that are at the $25 level. Please, please, please keep track of where you're at on your donations, because we definitely want to get your, when you hit that level where you've contributed, $1,000 or $2,000 or $2,500 or wherever you may be in your contribution level, definitely let me know when you hit that level, because you get something for that. And we want to make sure that we're staying abreast of it. Some of you have been doing it for a number of years now, and please keep track of your grand total and how far it goes back. And I definitely appreciate everyone, and no matter what level you're contributing to the show, it is greatly, greatly appreciated, whether it be $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month or an annual contribution, or sending someone to sign up for a GoDaddy product using the promo codes. That is as good as a donation. I'm honest with you. If you send a family member, friend over to pick up a product, hosting product especially, it really makes a big difference and helps me keep the lights on for the show. So thank you for your ongoing support. Okay, so let me get into the stack of stuff I have here for you. And I want to start off by talking about this company called Color. It's called Color's Breast and Ovarian Cancer DNA Test is $99 through October. This test screens for cancer-linked mutations of the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene. Now, these genes are linked to breast and ovarian cancer. That test is regularly $149, but for this month and next, customers can get it for $99. Color already has a test that estimates your risk for hereditary cancers like pancreatic cancer, melanoma, as well as breast and ovarian cancers. That test costs $249 and analyzes 30 genes. But the new BRCA test from Color only looks at the two BRCA genes and estimates risk based on mutations of the gene you have. This price puts Color test below its competitor cost-wise. For example, a similar test from Veritas cost $199. Now, this does not substitute you going to your doctor if you feel you have something else going on. If you have a lump, or if you have, some sort of sign, go see your doctor, ladies, and and fellas too on the breast cancer. Men are not immune to getting breast cancer, not as often, but it still can. So, ladies, please self-exam and get that mammogram annually, and the pap, get your pap smear, and all that stuff that you know, keeps track of your health. And the fellas, you know, you got your tests and stuff that you can do yourself as well. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves and watching out, and if we have any indication of something going on. But these gene mutations can give you a heads up. So this is a worthy test. If any of the Ohana have used these tests before, these types of tests, and gotten some positive or negative results, I'd love to hear from you and what you did because of it. And sometimes it's just peace of mind. You know, it really, really is. And peace of mind goes a long, long way, especially when you have some of this stuff that runs in the family that's hereditary. Any type of test you can look at is good, okay? All right, Trekkies. The Star Trek Observatory Discovery TV series premieres with the Vulcan Hello on September 24th. This is going to be cool. And they think that this series could be as big as Game of Thrones. It's really, really exciting. And I'm particularly looking forward to it as well. So the first episode is directed by David Semel and written by Brian Fuller and Akivia Goldsman and Alex Kurtzman, and premieres on CBS on Sunday, September 24th at 8:30 Eastern. It would also be streamed live from the CBS All Access and will be followed by a second episode of Discovery available the same night. So on CBS. Most of you that have cable TV will have CBS. Those of you that don't, you may consider the CB All Access Pass. A little bit about cord cutting and cord nevers. For years, the traditional and cable broadcast folks have gone to really just hilarious lengths to deny that cord cutting is real. You know, first we were told just, you know, on an almost weekly basis, that the cable cutting wasn't happening at all. You know, next industry acknowledged that sure, a handful of people were ditching cable, but it really didn't matter because for people doing so were losers living in their mom's basements. And then we were told that cord cutting was real, but was only a minor group of people that would once that the millennials started having kids. Well, they didn't count the people that are moving into the burbs or in apartments that never got cable. But we're reaching the point where the rise of streaming video revolution, you know, really can't be denied. And data is indicating it's worse for the TV companies than anyone thought. While the pay TV sector lost another 1 million subscribers last quarter, those totals, again, don't factor in those that bought a new home or rented a new apartment but chose not to sign up for cable. And those folks are dubbed cord nevers. And they've never bought into the value proposition of paying $130 more per month for a bloated bundle of largely unwatched reality TV channels for a company that treats paying customers with contempt. You know, that's the easiest way to say it. But eWeek is saying that the pace of customer defections is higher than previous estimates. The firm notes it was forced to reduce its estimate of U.S. TV ad spending due to the faster than expected growth in cord cutting. This is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But they're trying to transfer it. They're trying to transfer that cost and the money that you would have spent over into all these streaming services. But the best thing is you've got a choice. You have a choice. And that I really, really do love. I want to talk about something that, you know, many of us appreciate, a really, really, really good night's sleep, right? And, you know, all of us are not sleeping enough as it is. And I've always been one to sleep hot. So I've always, got a foot stuck out of the blankets as my, my regulator. I told you a few years ago, I bought a unit on a Kickstarter. It was called BedJet. I love that product. It is essentially a unit that fits underneath my bed. It's got a hose connected to it. And through a smart app, I tell it how long to blow air. And all it really does is pulls air from underneath my bed. And yes, you have, should keep the underneath of your bed clean because it's got filters. It'll get dusty just like anything else. But it basically, and I can regulate the speed of the air. And currently I run it at about 45 to 50% with 2.5 to 3 hours is what I run it when I go to sleep. And I just, you know, basically set the time. I'm going to wake up my app and hit click and it starts and I go to sleep. And 3 hours later, it shuts off. But it has made a world of difference. And for those of you that, and if you sleep cold, it's got a heater too. But if you sleep hot like I do, it is made, I mean, a world of difference. I just don't know, you know, if it ever broke, I'd immediately order another one. But now, there is something called a smart pillow. You know, you've all done this. Every human being on the planet has done this. You know, one small joy of sleep is flipping over the pillow and feeling the relief of a cooler side. But would you pay $400 to experience that relief all the time? Now, I'm going to tell you, with my experience with BedJet, I think I'm going to do this. My big problem is with pillows, is the way I sleep, they end up being like half of it smashed and the other half of it bunched up. I don't know. It's just the way I sleep. That's the way, you know, it starts flat, but maybe I don't put as much as my head on the, and maybe it's because I wear a CPAP. So I'm not using the full pillow, but, I'm going to tell you anything to, if it depends on your sleeping habits. If you wake up and you're, you know, you all got out of bed before and felt your sheets are kind of like, you know, those of you that sleep hot and you've sweat all night, I'm really, really interested in this. So a French startup called Moana is hoping to answer, that answer is yes. They launched on Kickstarter and delivered in June. They've created a machine learning smart pillow that can always stay cold and to learn to adjust to the best temperature. The gadget tries to improve sleep quality by making sure you're never too hot or cold, but sleep researchers said this high-tech solution may not be necessary for sleep problems. The idea to use temperature changes to improve sleep is very valid, but the implementation is difficult, and they don't think a cooling pillow will do this job. I don't know. I'm at a point where I would really like to have a cool and comfortable a pillow. And it'd be one of those things again, and that you would maybe start and let it run for an hour and maybe shut it down. I don't know. Now, the only thing that's kind of crazy about this is really not a pillow. It's a thick quilted memory foam pad that you put inside a pillowcase on top of your own pillow. That makes it go, The pad is filled with tubes of water and connected by a thick cord to a little water tank that stays on the bed table. The water tank heats and cools the water in the pad and is controlled with either a remote or an app. The liquid does evaporate, so recommended to refill with filtered water. The individual put the pad under this, they did a test, and a 12-minute cycle went from pleasantly cool, and then to slightly warmer. Now, they say this smart stuff. What happens is when you, as you sleep, your body typically, most people, cool down, and then they warm up, depending on the time of the night and what REM sleep you're in and all that stuff. So, I don't know, you know, the body's skin is like a radiator, and, you know, when you turn the knob, the radiator opens and dissipates heat, aka sweat, and, so anyway, I don't know, I'm just, I think this is intriguing. It has to be comfortable, though. That's the thing about the BedJet that I use, is that it, I have it's at the foot of the bed, and you don't want to stick your feet right next to it. So my feet are off, my wife and I share the bed. So I'm on my side and my feet are like a foot, foot and a half away from the blower. I have a queen size bed. So I don't know. I don't know if it's worth the $400 or not, but it surely intrigues me. But I will tell you this much. I love the bed jet. So if this works as good as the bed jet, man, it'd be like the best of both worlds. But I'm always beating the pillow or scrunching it up or rolling it over. How do you get out of that habit? I don't think you would. I think you would still do that. And when you're asleep, that kind of happens just like absentmindedly, right? We really don't even wake up and do that. So I guess we'll see. We'll see. Roku, I didn't even know this. Roku is looking to raise $220 million when it goes public next month. Man, I'd like to get on that stock. Holy cow. How do I get on that? How do I get on that IPO? Roku's declined to comment on a report that they're looking to launch an Amazon Echo-type smart speaker. If true, Roku would be the latest to join the smart speaker craze. I don't know. Roku's thing is the TV, and they've done a good job with that. I spend a lot of time in the Roku app, and we were early adopters of Roku, so I'm a huge, huge fan. So, but I'll admit, when I'm here on travel, I take my Fire TV with me. That's the second thing I hooked up when I got the room last night was the Fire TV, and got it connected so I could watch Amazon movies. I don't watch regular TV while I'm in the hotel, but anyway, Roku could be hopping on this train. We'll see. In New Zealand, the schools are basically handing out or providing Chromebooks, and it's one of the top leading tech tools in New Zealand. So this is pretty cool. In New Zealand, educators are changing their approach to teaching, building personalized learning paths for every student. Tech plays a key part to this approach. New Zealand joined a list of countries, including Sweden and the United States, where Chromebooks are the number one device used in schools. Chromebooks continue to be a top choice for schools, says Arniculum Mutaya, senior market analyst. After Chromebook's strong performance in 2016, we see a similar trend in 2017, with Chromebooks gaining a total shipment market share of 46%. My son's school, it's all about the MacBook. In middle school, every middle schooler was given a MacBook Air. That's what they used in his middle school. In high school, no such thing. You have to provide your own. But very, very cool what they're doing here with Chromebooks in New Zealand. Good article on that. Legos fan, the $35 Lego Star Wars Advent calendar reveals a new piece every day. There's going to be a Star Wars Lego set that's going to be coming out on what date? September 1st. And this will be a big Christmas item. So if you're a Lego fan, you want to keep track of that. There's some other additional stuff in this article as well. Soviet air defense officer who saved the world has died at age 77. Petrov, a former Soviet Colonel Stanislav Petrov, has passed away. And he was the guy that basically was in the Soviet Union's missile defense, our equivalent of like Cheyenne Air Command or whatever they call that, that's buried underneath the mountain. But anyway, he was at the controls the night that they got nuclear missile launch indications coming out of the United States. And they had initially just one and then additional four missiles that appeared to be in the air, which a long time later they figured out was because of sun reflecting off clouds, causing false alarms. But anyway, he basically could have passed that up the chain of command, and it was kind of a weird time in the Soviet Union, and the bubble could have went up just because of nothing. And he was basically responsible for having a cool head and not pulling the trigger, or actually sending the message upwards in the chain of command and starting a retaliatory strike on a basically sun reflecting off a cloud. Yeah, it's pretty sad when the whole world could have came to an end over or just reflection. Hey, a mock Mars crew has emerged from a dome in Hawaii after 8 months of isolation. I wonder what they ate first. After spending 8 months simulating life on Mars on the slopes of Mauna Loa volcano, six astronauts emerged from the Hawaiian habitat to conclude the fifth mock Mars mission of the NASA-funded High Seas program. Operated by the University of Hawaii, this research project studies how groups of interplanetary travelers would work together on long-term missions. So during the mission, four men and two women lived in isolation from the rest of the planet and could eat only shelf-stable foods and occasional lab-grown vegetables. And when communicating with the outside world, they had to deal with a 20-minute delay that astronauts on Mars would experience. And any time they went outside, they had to put on their spacesuits. So during the eight-month stay on Mauna Loa, they conducted scientific experiments, performed daily exercises, and maintained equipment in and around the dome. Outside the dome, the astronauts did geological field work and spacesuits just as if they were on Mars. So very, very cool. And they did. They ate some fresh papaya, pineapple, and bananas. So anyway, cool. Hanging out together for that long a period. I wonder if there's any arguments or did anybody hook up or anything like that. That would be the good inside story, right? The good podcast story. XPRIZE. You guys heard about this? XPRIZE 5 education software finalists help kids teach themselves. According to XPRIZE, millions of children around the world don't have access to basic education, such as reading, writing, and arithmetic skills. I think we all agree with that. And the problem is only getting worse. XPRIZE is looking to do something about it. Today, the organization announced the five finalists of the Global Learning XPRIZE each will receive $1 million. This particular challenge is designed around the teaching basic learning to children around the world. The competition won easily scalable software solutions that would be relatively simple to implement. 198 teams entered, and again, five teams have been awarded $1 million each. The five teams are CCI, based in New York, developing learning platform programs that operate sequentially. Bangalore's Chimple is focused on tablet-based learning. Kirk at School from Berkeley. What else? So anyway, there's a number of different solutions there. So very, very cool. The internet and e-learning and stuff just really could revolutionize the whole world. It really, really could. Slack. I love Slack. Of course, we have a Slack channel here. If you're not on our Slack channel, you should ask to join our Slack channel just by sending me an email. But Slack is valued at $5.1 billion with new funding in hand. The messy startup raked in $250 million from SoftBank. Wow, they continue to dump a bunch of money in companies. SoftBank has been buying a lot of stuff. So the company confirmed Monday $250 million from SoftBank and other investors, including the venture capital firm Excel Partners, in its most recent funding. Excuse me. In total, Slack has raised $841 million. So this takes them out to $5.1 billion. Wow. Valuation. Amazing. But it's a great product. I'm in multiple Slack channels. It is a virtually eliminated email in many instances. A new microscope can quickly generate a 3D image of living organisms. This will allow researchers to better observe animals while they develop. This new microscope, created by researchers at the Universidad Carlos de Madrid, has the ability to take fast 3D images, making it easier to observe cells in living animals over time. Got to take some H2O here. My God, no cough, Mike. He said, we can now see the heart of a zebrafish and make a 3D reconstruction of its beats. The QI scope, as it's called, can take up to 200 images per second. Wow. Way more than the five per second most confocal microscopes on the market can capture now. It also comes with four lasers. They each emit a flat beam, but two more can be attached to bring the total up to six. With multiple lasers, different types of cells labeled with different colors of fluorescent dye can be imaged at the same time. So, cool stuff. And they show an image of a some sort of animal in the picture here. Need more H2O. Do you have a Mac? Does it need to be upgraded? Well, according to makeuseof.com, they give you 6 signs it's time to upgrade or replace your Mac. Number one thing you should do, if you've got a Mac that's getting a little long in the tooth, just put an SSD drive in it. That will give you 2 more years just off the bat if it doesn't have one already. But number one, you're constantly running out of space. Number two, you can't upgrade to the latest Mac OS. Number three, the hardware just isn't good enough. And that's hard, unless you're editing like 4K videos, most Macs in recent time will do most things. Battery life isn't what it used to be. Well, you could have an option to have an aftermarket battery put in. That's something you could do. Five, your Mac is falling apart. Well, sometimes that happens. And maybe it's time to give, a desktop dock for it and you let the kids have it and upgrade your own Mac. And major software issues are frequent as well. So there's the 6 reasons. Anyway, if you're looking to give an argument to your wife or to your significant other, this might be some things you can use just to do that. Merriam-Webster has announced new words. There are now 250 more words and phrases you can look up at Merriam-Webster. Like one of them is troll, ransomware, alt-right, sriracha, Internet of Things. These are some of the things that have been added to the Merriam-Webster dictionary. So anyway, if you're interested, check that out. I remember the year podcast was added to it. I think that happened in 2005. New York City is proposing stricter regs following the Equifax hack. I think the U.S. government should request stricter regulations around financial companies. The banks and hospitals already have to go to extreme measures to protect customers' data. So should credit reporting companies. They should not get a pass. So we'll see where this leads. Do people still run Windows on a Mac? People still do that? Well, I am just like running out of, my throat is dry. I don't know why. I guess too much traveling, too much airplane air. 5 top ways to run a Mac, run Windows on a Mac. And if you are still doing that, which I don't know how many people are, but the obvious things right off the top is Boot Camp or Parallels or VirtualBox, but they go into basically the 5 top ways to run Windows on a Mac if you so desire to do that. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Now, one thing I've got going on here tonight is, for example, I've got an article loaded here by PC World, and the advertisement refuses to close. So when that happens, guess what we do? We close the link and we don't cover the information that was in the article. It just drives these little pop-up ads. Sometimes they're cool, but they just are annoying when they won't go away. Over on the telegraph.co.uk, Snapchat has blocked Al Jazeera in Saudi Arabia. Snapchat has removed Qatari broadcaster Al Jazeera from its picture messaging app at the request of the Saudi authorities. The request to block Al Jazeera presents in the kingdom was made before the weekend, the company said. We make an effort to comply with local laws in the countries where we operate, a spokesperson from Snapchat's parent company said. Wow. Isn't Al Jazeera like pro-Muslim news? I don't fully understand why they did that. What is the reason? It says it's in violation of local laws. Huh. Saudi Arabia's allies and United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Egypt, and boycotting Qatar since June 5th in the region's worst diplomatic crisis in years. They sealed the country's only land border. Oh, so Al Jazeera's in Qatar. I see. So that is why. Now, Qatar is Qatar. Some people call it Qatar. Having been active duty, we call it Qatar. I don't know which one is the correct way to say it. But anyway, so Snapchat blocks Al Jazeera. Yeah, a little gamesmanship there going on. Over in Forbes.com, they have an article that says, no, Apple's Face ID is not a secure password. So they are basically touting, Face ID may not be super secure and could be hacked if someone had a 3D image of you or, you know. So I will have to see where this leads. I'm sure this will be the first thing when people get the iPhone X that they're going to try to do. They're going to try to trick the phone to unlock, you know, using your fingerprint. Use an isometric fingerprint reader has been pretty popular. And I don't know if the face is going to be unique enough, I guess. But I swear to God, I'm walking around a lot and seeing people that look a lot alike, but subtle differences, right? All right. Anyway, I'll let you guys check the full details of that out, thinking about getting Windows 11. Over on Wired, they're saying, you want to stop distracted driving? Make cars that watch their humans. So everyone knows that distracted driving is a problem, but it tends to fall in the other people, not me category. You know, I'll be honest with you. I have had a few incidences over the years where I've looked at my phone, I've looked at map, I've looked at Waze, I've spent 1 or 2 seconds too many with my head down and lift my head up and had to slam on the brakes. I think if any of you are willing to admit that, you've probably been in the same situation, right? And it's got to the point now where I have to force myself to make sure that I put the phone in the hands-free cradle in the car and that I use the commands that it has for hands-free, because if I don't, something's going to happen. And I've had to force myself. It was just like yesterday when I was driving, I wanted to be able to set something up on the phone, and I said, nope, you have to wait, and force myself to not tinker with my phone while I was driving. And it's hard. We are really, really slaves to these devices. But they say that a staggering 80% of traffic accidents and 17% of fatalities are caused by distracted driving. And this is according to the National Hawaii Traffic Safety Administration. That's clearly flawed logic, they say, by what? But when you consider this, why do they say that's flawed logic? Everyone knows distracted driving is a problem, but it tells other people not meet category personal risk assessment. But when you consider we're confident self-driving cars are on their way, but they're not there yet. Do we have to deal with the people that are texting, tweeting, and just generally smartphoning at the wheel? Yes, they are. You see it when you go by people all the time, or you're at a stoplight and light turns green and the car doesn't move in front of you. But a group of Canadian researchers think they can outwit the overconfident overshares with the help of artificial intelligence. A team at the University of Waterloo Center for Pattern Analysis Machine Intelligence developed software that can determine when drivers are texting or otherwise distracted, a potentially crucial step toward halting the habit. So what are they going to do? How are they going to warn? How are you going to speak? Okay, the car knows you're doing it. What are they going to do? They developed prototype system that uses cameras, both Microsoft Kinect cameras and simple dash cams, to detect hand movement, then grade them how likely to put the drivers in danger. All right, so what are they actually going to implement? They really don't say what they do. They're only that they can detect it. But they got to figure out how to properly pester the distracted driver. Yeah, in other words, how do you get them, all right, you know they're doing it, but how do you get them to pay attention and drive without actually getting in a wreck, you know, by making the car do something. That's a good question, right? All right, T-Mobile has backtracked from plan to throttle Apple Watch speeds to 512K. T-Mobile initially planned to charge $20 for the watch, but now it says it'll be $10. And I guess they're not going to throttle. Okay. Do you really need that much speed with your watch? The 512 limit's probably not going to be noticeable. One of the most bandwidth-heavy applications for Apple Watch is Apple Music, which streams at 256K. Well, I didn't know it was that fast. Still, 512 should be enough to stream music, but they say that they're not going to limit it to 512. Okay, all right. I don't know what people are going to be doing with their watch, to be honest with you, with this with an LTE chip. Well, maybe taking that to the gym versus taking your phone and your watch to the gym. That's my problem. Sometimes I forget to wear my Apple Watch, and I get to the gym, and then I'm like, crap, because I use it to track my workouts. There's a new AI tool that allows you to make a 3D model of your face from a single photo. So it's kind of cool. It's a little tool. And it's by University of, what is it, Nottingham? Is that right? Yeah, University of Nottingham and Kingston University in the UK. So link will be in the show notes on that. Some kind of slick little AI tool someone developed. PayPal is offering a free one-year ShopRunner membership right now. ShopRunner gives you free two-day shipping and free returns on online stores like Newegg, MacMall, and Staples. Oh, I have to check this out. For 1 year free, I'm on it. A 2 day free shipping. I wonder if that's to Hawaii as well. Anyone shopped at ShopRunner before? Maybe new to you, new to me. ShopRunner.com. Satya Nadella rewrites Microsoft code. Microsoft CEO has stopped infighting and restored morale and has created more than $250 billion in market value. And he said all it took was focusing on what matters most. This is a great op-ed and an interview with him talking about his lifestyle, what he does, how he leads, what he reads. I think this is really important. This is a good article. I was late starting the show today because of it. And it's pretty long. You're going to need 20 minutes to get through it. But this is a good one. This is probably the article of the day here. It's by Fast Company. And really good, really, really good piece. And for any of you in leadership positions or expecting me in a leadership position in a company, there's some lessons learned here. Sounds of Silence. What's coming to Google Chrome in 2018? When Chrome 64 is released in January 2018, it will largely mark the end of auto-playing audio on websites. Thank you. Google will strangle most auto-playing audio in early 2018 when it issues Chrome 64, the upgrade expected to ship between January 21st and January 27th. Auto-playing audio annoys me to no end, especially podcasters that do it. I hope it just shuts it off at the knees. It'll help us for sure. Fake net neutrality comments at the heart of a lawsuit filed against the FCC. The FCC has ignored a public records request for information that may shed light on the legitimacy of comments on Chairman Pai's anti-net neutrality plan, according to a lawsuit. Basically, freelance writer Jason Purcell filed a Freedom of Information Act on June 4th, asking the FCC for data related to bulk comment uploads. They acknowledged receiving his FOIA, but they didn't respond to it. Now, when that happens, your only recourse is to file a lawsuit. And this is not the first lawsuit the FCC is facing over FOIAs. So he asked them after July 18th deadline passed, when, you know, the time they had to respond, and they never responded. So he's got to go to court to get this information. And when your government doesn't respond to Freedom of Information Act requests, it's really troubling. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you want data and it's in the public domain, they have to give it up. It may be redacted somewhat if it's a case or something like that. But You know, I've been having a lot of challenges with FOIAs being filed against a community school, and there's a certain art to writing them, and I'm kind of learning that the hard way. You have to start asking for itsy bitsy pieces of information and then grow from there. You can't go after the full enchilada at once. It just doesn't work that way. It's they basically will kill you funding wise. But anyway, that we can talk about FOIAs another time. Galaxy S8 owners can finally disable the Bixby button, B-I-X-B-Y. I guess it's been driving some of you nuts. But an update basically lets you shut that thing off. So if it's been launching on you, you'll want to check the article out. Lyft is request will light up the phones for deaf drivers. We already talked about this. You know, they launched those features that made a system easier to use for deaf drivers. Now it's adding a couple more to celebrate National Deaf Awareness Month. Thanks to its partnership with the National Association of the Deaf, the ride-hailing firm has developed Flash on Request for the drivers if they activate the app's hard of hearing accessibility function. Well, sometimes those little functions are good for the hearing as well. It gives you another indication that your phone is trying to reach out to you. So anyway, cool. Very, very cool. Actually, I got a question the other day about Blueberry's accessibility. Basically, we are screen reader capable and we're very cognizant of folks that are vision impaired. So it was basically a school for vision impaired that were asking questions about it. So we've been real, you know, from the very, very beginning. My CIO was very cognizant of it, and you know, we worked hard to be support the folks that are vision impaired, and they're going to actually go through and look at our website too. And I said, if you find something, let us know, we'll fix it. But you know, we've been very proactive in that regard. iPhone 10 and iPhone 8 don't support T-Mobile's new 600 megahertz LTE network. So if you've got T-Mobile as your service provider, just to know that all this money T-Mobile spent for that new spectrum and is rolling out is not supported in the new iPhone. Maybe next year, we'll see. Galaxy S9, they're already talking about it. The camera sensor will reportedly shoot at 1,000 frames per second. That's really insane. That's really, really insane. You know how big those files are going to get? Do you really need to shoot at 1,000 frames per second? I don't think so. Do you use CC Cleaner by Avacast? Well, the CC Cleaner app used by hackers to spread malware. Yes, the app itself was hacked. The last thing you expect from a popular security app is to end up infecting your system. But that's exactly what happened. For a period of time, legitimate signed version of CC Cleaner 5.33 distributed by Avacast, or Avast, A-V-A-S-T, excuse me, contain a full multi-stage malware payload. The company said 2.27 million users were affected, but they were able to update their software and at the same time clean out the malware for those that were affected. Just continues, doesn't it? Spotify and Waze have basically done an integration, and you can listen to your music while at the same time seeing where traffic is on Waze and getting directions. I'm sorry. I'm having to hit the water bottle here multiple times tonight. But this partnership between Google-owned Waze and Spotify was announced earlier this year, and the implementation's put in place. I guess people want to see what they're listening to. I didn't think that was a big deal. British Airways is going to power some of its jets with trash. They've made a deal with a company called, let's see here, Renewable Fuels Outfit Velcos, or Velocus, or however you pronounce it, V-E-L-O-C-Y-S. And they're basically using trash to produce fuel. So we'll see how this works out. But they have some goals in mind to basically reduce the number of carbon emissions, but They're using renewables to replace the current oil they're getting. It's basically not as environmental friendly. iOS 11 Apple Pay Cash feature not available yet. It'll be available later this fall. So that was a feature that was promised, but it's not going to be in iOS 11. For those of you, the sports fans, the Red Sox use a Fitbit, not an Apple Watch, in sign-stealing controversy. So it's kind of funny. So the players are wearing Fitbits, and someone was messaging the Fitbits with what play was coming. So I guess if you're in a batter's box and you know a strike is coming, that's probably useful information, right? Or if they're going to purposely walk you, if they can send something on your Fitbit and maybe buzz it or something. That, I don't know how they did it, but they got caught and they got fined. So anyway, what they will do to try to get an edge. All's fair in war and gaming, right? Equifax stock sales prompted a Department of Justice investigation for insider trading. So those three officials that sold $1.8 million in shares have some answering to do. And we'll see what comes of that as that investigation moves forward. Finally here, Shure has put its Pro Audio chops to work in developing a $100 Bluetooth earbud. There will also be a $100 cable that gives existing wired models the same connectivity. I'm a big fan of Shure earbuds. They're really, really good. I use them exclusively when I'm in the studio at home. They're wired, but they've come up with some Bluetooth headphones. The Bose ones that I have for the gym are fantastic. I mean, they're really, and I don't know what the model number on these. I'm holding on my hand right now. They're blue, or maybe aqua is the color. But just love these headphones, and they last a full week on a single charge. Best set of Bluetooth headphones I've really honestly ever had. And finally, use a pencil to, when you put your stuff in the freezer, to divide sauce into usable portions. In other words, you put the sauce in a Ziploc bag, and if you've got enough for two cookings, you split it in half and use a pencil, fold it over, and then one half, when you basically can get the half out that's, you can split it by using the same bag, or just use a smaller Ziploc bag. So anyway, just a little tip there, cooking tip on the skillet over at skillet.lifehacker.com. All right, that's going to bring us to the end here. Let me see here. Do we have any emails? And I don't have email loaded. Let me look over here. What are we doing for time? Just about an hour, so we're not bad. And wrong email account. Let me look. Comments. Let me load this. Let's see here. What's the date on that? No, that's, is that new? Oh, yeah, I got one from Barry. Say, hey, Todd, heard last night's story on the proximity beacons. Thanks for reporting them. I think Corey and I will proceed with the course. And the $17 beacons, I think I paid 10 for mine. I don't think we need more than three, one near his restaurant, one in his truck food cart, and one to be determined. And I've been using my new ones a lot, and actually, I have been in contact with some manufacturers, and I'm working on getting beacons at a cheaper price still by buying in bulk, but I'll let you know how that goes, Barry. Matter of fact, I think an email came in during the show that has some of the pricing. But anyway, that's it, folks. Hope we're okay on this road show. If my throat would have cooperated a little better, it would have been better. We'll continue to work on dialing in this audio so it's not so breathy and you don't hear every little tip-tap and bang and boom. But it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Be back with you Thursday for another episode of the Geek News Central Podcast. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Geek News. And thank you for supporting our sponsors. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on Geek News Central. Bye-bye.